Hey friends, you are about to hear an incredible episode featuring Tony Caterina. It's so good, so jam-packed full of God stories and incredible things that we have split it into two episodes. So upcoming is part one. Make sure to subscribe to not miss part two.
Hi, I'm Christy Grainer, and I'm here with Rebecca Rivnick. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Christy.
And we are thrilled to be here with a friend of ours, Tony Caterina. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, ladies.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And we're excited to have Tony here because he has got such an amazing story in his life, but he's also doing some really cool ministry that we want people to know about. So I'm not even sure where to start, Tony. You and I met years and years and years ago. You were a baby Christian probably when I met you, right?
You baptized me.
Did I?
Yes, you and Tim Hatt actually baptized me. Yeah.
Gosh, I didn't even remember that.
Yeah,
what,
we did
what
it.
An
That's
honor.
So fun.
Yeah, we did it at the church on Cedar in Pilot Knob, because they had the baptismal in the church. Yeah,
That's pretty cool. That was a long time ago. But tell us about just before you came to know the Lord. What was your life like, Tony?
Wow. So, born in New York, moved here.
New York. You don't even have an accent.
Well, you know, I moved here like when we were 1970 or something. Grew up in Edina. Actually, Edina East was the last class to graduate from Edina East. My younger years were filled with drugs and alcohol. At the age of 21, went to Hazleton, got sober, but just flipped addictions, actually gambled for the next, 20 years. It's a crazy story. It's really interesting how God will do things because I'm a compulsive gambler, and I'm working at the racetrack as the track superintendent at Canterbury Park, so figure that one out. But I was young. I was pretty naive, and then I met this woman at Canterbury named Linda who became my wife, but that whole story was very interesting. So we met in like 2000. We had a daughter together named Carly. Linda had another daughter named Kaylin, who was 8 years old at the time. And so Linda and I have Carly, but you have to understand I'm a gambler. So I don't know the Lord. So I'm just not in the right mind. That's the best way to put it. I think I know what's right, but I am pretty immature. Let's put it this way. I'm 35, 36 years old, making a ton of money, but living with my mom and gambling it all away. So put that in perspective of then having a kid, and a kid comes into your life and, I'm thinking I know what's best. And Linda, who has had a daughter before, is trying to raise a daughter in a good, stable situation. And there's nothing stable about me at the time. So in my geniusness, I decide that, I'm right. So I get a lawyer. And I actually serve Linda papers because I feel like Linda's trying to take Carly away from me, not understanding that she's just trying to give her a stable environment. So we end up, I end up serving her papers, and this goes over a period of about a year and a half. And at the time, I'm not capable of having a relationship. I think I'm capable, but I'm not, okay? Then 9/11 happens. And what's interesting about 9/11 is because I'm from New York, I'm watching these planes hit the World Trade Center, and my cousin, actually prior to that, had worked on the top level of one of the trade centers for a number of years, had retired from there. But anyway, I watched this and I'm thinking to myself, holy cats, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
So I kind of think the Lord did something that day because I wasn't a believer at the time, but because I was sober and I went through AA, I had this offshoot idea of God and some spirituality. Now, I didn't know Jesus. I can just tell you this. God will work with people even though they have no understanding. All right, because he got a hold of me a long time ago. It was just taking a different word.
You're a walking testimony of that truth.
Yes, I am. So
there's no lost cause.
No, it's very interesting. So something happens, and fast forward a couple of months, Linda walks into my office. Now, you have to understand, Linda and I both were working at the same place, and we're not talking to each other. And we would see each other. I mean, I have an office in the building. She has an office in the building.
Oh, that's awkward.
It was really strange. But she comes to my office a couple of days before Christmas. Well, I'll backtrack. Thanksgiving that year, I had Carly in the morning, and I drop her off at the house. And Linda and Kaylin are waiting for Carly to get dropped off because they're going to go to her sister's house for Thanksgiving. I drop her off, and as I'm leaving, I'm like, there's something wrong with this picture, big time. There's just something wrong. And Linda, what I don't know is Linda feels the same way, but because we're both prideful, neither one of us are going to talk to each other, so we don't. Then Christmas, it's a couple of days before Christmas, and she comes into my office, and she says, hey, would you like to come over to my house? And I'm like, sure. And look, I'm still... can I just use the word pig? I'm a pig. All right, I'm just a pig. Don't know anything about the Lord. But I come over there and we end up talking at around Christmas. And she says, you know, I really would like to be a family. Now, here's the genius part of God, because I'm thinking he's talking through me. I say to Linda, I said, I think that would be a great idea, but we've tried this 3 times. And it hasn't worked. So we need something else in the middle of this relationship.
Whoa.
Okay. Now, that can't possibly be me because I don't have that kind of wisdom. But I said that to her. And I said, there has to be something else. She goes, well, I've been going to this church, Hosanna, you know, with the girls. And I'm like, you know what? I'd be open to go to that, you know, try it out. And it's funny because I kind of laugh about it now because I actually went the first time I went and loved what Bill said. Couldn't stand the music because I was just like a 1970s rock and roll guy. So I just was like church music. I actually now really love church music, but and worship and stuff. But at the time I didn't. I was just still into my heyday of rock and roll. But what was interesting, we bought each other a present that Christmas, and we bought each other a Bible.
Whoa.
That's all we did. We each bought a Bible and we started reading together. And now, look, we're still doing things the wrong way. I actually have moved back into her house. We're reading the Bible together in bed, but we're starting to get convicted. And about February comes along, and Linda makes this phone call to Hosanna. And I wish I was on the other line and who was on the other line, because they had to have been laughing, because the conversation went like this. Yeah, we've been reading the Bible together, and we're starting to get convicted. We were wondering if we could talk to somebody. And just explain some things to us. So whoever answered the phone actually got us hooked up with Janine Olson. And so Janine met us, and that was like late February, early March. And we got married in August of that year, or actually September of that year, sorry. So, and we've been married ever since. And
it's been how many years?
It's, what was that, 2001. So I think we just
19
had
19 years.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was, no, it wasn't 2001.
18
I think it was
two, years?
I think we just, it's 17 or 18. You could edit that one. Because we just went on our anniversary up to Lutzen, but I can't remember how many years it is. But it's been interesting because the Lord has been working on both of us for a long time. And, you know, so we started going to church. I still wasn't a believer. Linda actually went through Alpha with Derek. And because I was the track superintendent at the racetrack, I had to work in the summer all the time. So I would go in, you know, sometimes at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, I'd get home at midnight, you know. And so Linda took off. We call her, she was the microwave and I was the crock pot. So she was just on fire for the Lord. I remember when she came out of her room one night and she was speaking in tongues and she's like, what is this? I'm just like, I don't know, you know.
Sounds weird to me.
Yeah, but what was interesting is I finally, a couple of years into it, I finally went to Alpha, gave my life to the Lord. I was still kind of this crockpot until I met you, Christy, and the Stranyards, and did Water of Life. Mm-hmm. And When I listen to Mark and Kathy talk at Water of Life, this is probably 2004, there's just something that connected to my spirit. It was like, wow, these guys remind me a lot of me. And so I actually remember talking to them after, and then the next night we actually joined Hosanna as partnerships, and I was talking to Bill about Mark and Kathy. And it's just great because somehow we got hooked up with them, and we've been in their life ever since. So they've been really, they kind of mentored us. But what's really funny about the Lord, especially for me, is he's put mentors in my life like automatically without me ever even asking. I've just always had these godly men that just walked with me and were able to, you know, speak into my life and call things out and help me along the way. So anyway, this really interesting thing happened in my walk, and it's a scary thing for me, but it's truth. So I'll just share it, and maybe somebody will understand. I was fishing. So I used to fish with the guys that go, I still do. It's funny. We still go fishing in September with the guys that I worked with at Canterbury. But in this particular time, we're up fishing and we're cleaning fish. And I have this thought of taking the knife and stabbing one of the guys. And I call Linda and I'm like, man, I'm just freaking out because I have this thought and it won't leave my head.
And by this point, you're a Christian.
I'm a believer. Oh, yeah. I'm a total believer. This is like 2006, okay?
And 2005. It's not a normal way of thinking for you.
No, well, it's totally not. Right. And she's like, well, just pray in tongues, you know? And here's the thing. I had a dream, okay? I didn't put two and two together for a little while, but I had a dream. And in the dream, there was four caves. And I was told I had to go into one. But I heard this voice say, stay to the middle. So I'm like, okay, that's two or three. So I went in number two. And I could see, it was just dark, and I had no idea where I was going. It's like
I remember
going,
you telling me right, about this dream way
going
back.
Going back and forth. No idea where I was going. And then when I came out, I was actually flying over pine trees with eagles.
Wow.
I was flying over.
That's a great dream.
Yeah. But
I think you had that dream more than once, because I remember when you came to me, you said, I had the dream again, and I saw the light now. Because you were stuck in the cave for a while.
Yeah.
So it was a recurring dream.
Right.
So I think the Lord was talking to you about your journey to freedom.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What was interesting about it is I heard this voice say it would be 3 years.
I remember when you
and
said
I went 3 years and 1 month with these thoughts.
Yeah,
and
you weren't real happy when you heard the voice say three. I remember you coming to me like,
what's
the deal?
I remember there was a day where me and you were going to go down to Godtown, or we were going to go down to Minneapolis and speak with John Tolo. Mm-hmm. And I was getting attacked in the car on the way over. And you looked at me and you had a dog. And that dog started barking at me like there was something on me. It was just horrendous.
I had a dog in the car?
You had a dog at your house. I was meeting you at your house.
Okay.
And your dog was going nuts when I came out of the car. And you looked at me like, huh, you know, like there's some spiritual thing going on. It was interesting. I remember that quite well, actually.
Wait, let's pause real quick. Christy, how would you interpret that dream? If someone came to you and said, I had a dream. I have a voice. There's four caves. Choose the second. You choose the second and the third. You hear it's going to be 3 years. It's reoccurring. It's dark for a long time. Eventually you see a light. When you come out of it, you're soaring over pine trees.
Well, I think we didn't talk about those dreams when you were having them. And there's a journey you're on.
Yeah.
And depression is a journey you're on, and the Lord sees you. It's not that the Lord puts you into depression, but this is something that you were going through. And it was a really hard season.
Right. It was terrible.
But the Lord's with you, and the Lord sees you, and the Lord knows it, and there is a light. There's hope there. So just keep getting healed.
Yeah.
Because it was an emotional and spiritual healing you were going through.
Right.
Yeah. And then you've got a prophetic destiny ahead of you, and you're going to be a leader of leaders. So go for it.
Right.
You know, it's worth it.
Well, here's what's really interesting, too, about it. So some of the things I learned out of it. So this went on for 3 years. You know, it was during the Randy Clark Healing Conference. So,
right, and that was in 2006.
Correct.
Randy Clark and Bill Johnson came to Hosanna.
Come on.
Lutheran in Minnesota.
Yeah.
One time, and that was this conference.
Yep. Yeah.
But if you're listening, Randy Clark or Bill Johnson, you're welcome back.
Yeah. Anytime.
Yeah,
yes, we will find it. Yes, we would welcome you with open arms.
Absolutely. So it's funny because, like I was sharing earlier, so Bill was speaking, and he's leaving, and I follow him out. And I'm
Bill
telling
Johnson.
Bill Johnson. And I'm like, Bill, there's just this stuff.
And how long had you been having those thoughts at that point?
I want to, it's, I'm not sure. I would say it's probably been in it. I've been in about a year now.
Okay.
And I mean, it was just hard. I mean, that was really, I would
sometimes,
never wish
I remember
that on.
Sometimes those were your thoughts, but you have a very strong gift of discernment. And sometimes you were discerning what was going on around you and you didn't have the ability to tell what was yours, what wasn't yours. And so it just all felt like yours.
Right. And that's what's funny about that is, at the end of this 3 years, that's what I started figuring out.
Wow.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
So and I go to Bill, and Bill actually sends me to Chris.
Chris Fallotton.
Who's
also at Bethel, but wasn't there for that conference. So he
right.
said, get in contact with this guy, Chris
right.
Fallotton.
So, and he says, read this prophetic warfare book of his. And I did. But what I really got out of it was the back end where Chris had gone through. So I listened to Chris's testimonies, and I could really
relate
to that. Exactly. Yeah. So then I actually sent him an email, and he actually hooked me up with Teresa
Liebscher.
Liebscher from Bethel mm-hmm. and the Sozo. So 2006, I believe I might have been the first person at Hosanna that ever did a Sozo. Because
was that before or after you told me, gave me a word? Because we were doing the Water of Life there, which was an inner healing and deliverance ministry. And Tony's very prophetic, if you haven't figured that out. And he has been all along, just learning to use this gift in God's way instead of the enemy's way is what you, the kind of the painful process you went through.
Right.
But Tony came to me and said, you know, the Lord told me that he's going to show you a way to do inner healing and deliverance much quicker than what you're doing. And I said, Tony, you are not hearing correctly from the Lord. This is not. So I didn't know about Sozo yet.
Right. Well,
so was that,
I don't think
yes.
I realized Tony was the one that gave you that word.
Yeah.
Here's what I think happened, Christy. So I did this with Teresa for 6 months, and then you were going out there for a prophetic conference
uh-huh,
or
uh-huh.
something.
That was
and
the
I
first
said,
time
you
I went out
need
there.
To talk to this person while you're out there. And I think you ended up doing that.
I met all the Sozo people my first trip out. That was an incredible trip.
I didn't know that, obviously, what was going to take place for you out there, but I just know that, you know, this was a 6 month journey with, she would call me every, I don't know, 4 to 6 weeks, and we'd talk for an hour or two on the phone. And she just walked me through different things. And, you know, it's kind of interesting with the Lord because, you know, he has signposts along the way and he just encourages you. It wasn't the breakthrough of all breakthroughs yet. What was interesting about it, though, it was a start of more stuff for me. And I was getting healed. But what happened was I started to think about what I was thinking about. So I'm getting a little better, but the stuff's still happening. And then I would start to go, okay, for example, I was at work and everything was fine. And then I walked into a room.
Were you still working at Canterbury?
I was working at the city at the time. So I have lost my job at Canterbury. I'm now at the city. This is probably 2007 or 8.
Okay.
And because I actually lost my job at Canterbury September of 2005, started to work at the city.
Which was a blessing from the Lord.
Yeah. Well, here's a whole nother story. You know, it's interesting. If you ever have a job that you know you're supposed to leave, but you don't know how to leave it.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what's funny. God gave me a dream on that at Canterbury. He gave me a dream on a Sunday night that there was a party going on and there was a door half open. And on the other side of this door, there's a big party. And I was supposed to either open the door or shut the door. And I knew the party was Canterbury because I always thought Canterbury was this big party atmosphere. And I actually went to open the door and then I pulled it shut. And 3 days later, they fired me. it was kind of funny. So I actually knew that dream was from God. But again, I didn't put two and two together till after I was fired. And I realized, you know what, that was actually the Lord giving me the option. And I actually wanted out. I just didn't know how to get out.
Right.
You know, but God did some really cool things at Canterbury for me too. So that's for another day. But I'm on this journey still with trying to figure out this thing in my head, which here's a good word for you. If you ever go through something like this, don't try to figure it out. Okay, because there are things that only the Lord can take you through. What happened to me was I started reading all these deliverance books trying to get an answer that wasn't there.
And, you know, I think people want it to go faster. I mean, that's excruciating. Sure. 3 years. Right. Nobody wants that. Nobody's going to choose that. But that's what you need to be where you are.
Right.
It's like the Lord took in his mercy. The Lord could do it like immediately. We know the Lord could do that. So when people it takes 3 years, people feel like they're being punished. But that's not, the Lord just knows this is a better way for you for
Correct.
The long haul.
Correct.
That's a good word.
So what's interesting about this whole time, so Randy Clark comes. Randy Clark does the healing conference with Bill and Leif at the church. And here's what's really crazy. I'm on the prayer team at Hosanna and this stuff's going on. All right. But what's so interesting is for whatever reason, God gives me this grace that while I'm praying with people, this isn't affecting me.
Wow. And I know I was in charge of the prayer team at that point. And so people might say, well, who is the person in charge that let you be on the prayer team? Well, I knew what was going on with you because you were very open about it. But I also knew that you were called and anointed. And I know that people don't have to be perfect.
Right.
But I did were overseen and you were you submitted to leadership and you were accountable, all that good stuff.
Right.
But you still had, you were able to use your gifting, because sometimes we make it seem like people have to be totally fixed, totally perfect before they can minister, which is ridiculous. Right. Nobody is.
Right.
And then it causes people to hide what they're actually dealing with.
Yeah.
And I would, and I probably have never thanked you for this, so I'll thank you now, and you and Tim Hatt and the Stranyards, because here's the thing. You guys were mature enough to understand that, okay, something's going on. We don't know how to fix this, but we're going to pray and we're going to walk this out with them.
And we're going to love them.
Yeah, because here's the deal. I was afraid to tell people, because this is the type of stuff that you tell the wrong person, you're in the funny farm for a while.
Oh,
you know,
for sure.
You're in the psych ward.
But it's calling out the treasure in somebody instead of seeing the dirt.
Right.
And you shared the dirt, like, what are you going to do with my dirt? And we chose to see the treasure.
Right. Yeah. It was a tough season, but when I look back at it and what's come out of it. So as we got closer to the end, which I didn't know was the end, I started thinking about what's going on around me. This is the discernment piece. And I started to realize that a lot of this stuff wasn't me, was actually other things that I was just sensitive to pick up on. And I would walk into rooms and I'm like, it would just start going off, this crazy thought. I'll share one story in particular.
Well, you started sharing the story about you were at working for the city and you went into a room.
Yeah. So I went into a room and I'm like, I'm perfectly fine. And all of a sudden the stuff starts. And I'm like, what's going on? And I can hear a guy yelling on the phone down the hall at like a girlfriend or somebody. And it's not pretty. I mean, there's all sorts of nasty words going on. And I'm like, there's a spiritual thing here. But I'm not mature enough to realize exactly what's going on. I'm catching something. I'm picking up on something. And I started to notice this go on and on and on. And so I'm at a Saturday night service at Hosanna. And I'm with, they're standing behind me. And Linda and I are worshiping, or we're actually talking to them. I actually shake her husband's hand, and these thoughts, I actually get a picture of myself punching him in the face, all right? And I'm like, God, what the heck is this? And I hear this voice just say, why don't you invite him over for dinner? I'm like, all right. So we start to worship. I look to Linda to my left, because they're standing behind us, and I said, I think we're supposed to have them come over for dinner tonight. She says, that's so funny because I got the same word.
Isn't that cool?
So we invite him to dinner. And what I find out later, he actually doesn't want to come. But they come after dinner and he thinks it's going to be an hour. They spend 3 hours. Here's what happens. Somehow in this 3 hours, we have this fire. We're starting to talk to them. I start telling the story.
Which story?
The story of me like punching him in the face.
You did tell
him
that?
Yeah, I still
You know what I was thinking about when I shook
this
your head?
And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but it's like an offense of some sort.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
here
comes this 27-year offense that they've had towards each other that they haven't dealt with.
Whoa.
We deal with it right on the spot. She says to me the next week that that changed his life, that he's a completely different guy.
That is really
cool.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I mean,
But you have to learn how to understand how God speaks to you.
Correct.
And not overreact out of your flesh.
Right. So yeah. That was one of the first breakthroughs. Like, all right, Lord.
But what I also think is cool about that is you learned at that point, in a way, I mean, you didn't learn, you already knew, but to minister with your wife, and look how powerful that is.
Right.
Because God told Linda the same thing, and you guys partnered, and this couple was set free.
That's a good word today. that's a really good word just now. I'm going to put that one in my pocket and tell her tonight.
Okay. Also, I want to point out, too, that this is normal Christianity, that you, the believer, are placed in situations where you have the kingdom solution, and the Lord will share it with you. He gives you keys. And it's all about just learning and growing and getting healing, walking with Jesus, so that we can discern the moment we're in to bring the kingdom solution. That's exactly what you're talking about.
And trusting Him more than you trust yourself.
Right.
So, okay, you're doing something, God. I'm going to calm myself down so I can partner with what you're doing instead of react out of what I'm feeling.
Right. Or react out of fear and you know, it's about me and stuff like that. So what's funny was that now that starts to increase. And I'm walking into Hosanna, and I'm telling you what, things are going off, and I'm like, who is it? And he would just point to people, and I would go up to people. I remember I was sitting up in the front. We had worship. He shows me this woman. At the end of the service, I look at her, and she goes, how did you know?
Yeah.
I said, I didn't. He does, and he just wants you to know, and I get to pray with her. And this happened multiple times. Where,
so you were in a training.
Right. It was exactly. It was a training. So this stuff is still kind of happening to me on the side a little bit. Paul Yadal shows up. He's been at Hosanna a couple times. He comes to do a conference. And so he's talking about the Father's love. We're in the main sanctuary. I remember it's like a Saturday mid-afternoon. And he says to me, or it says to everybody, write a love letter to God. I want you to write a letter to God telling God what you think he thinks about you. Write this letter, read it out loud, wake up the next morning. Whatever was on me for 3 years and a month was gone and it's never been back.
So you wrote a love letter from God to you.
I wrote a love letter, what I thought God thought about me. And then I read it out loud. And that was the end of that.
Just broken.
It was just the end of it.
Very cool.
Yeah. So that was my huge, lifting moment of this disappearing. And then heart started.
And talk about heart.
So heart was established by an individual that was going to the church that was supposed to, what it was a group of, there was 12 different pieces to HART, and HART was going to be a natural disaster team that would be kind of like this. The best way I can think about it is like a pyramid type of thing. So you would take this and you would go to these big churches, all right? So you would go to Hosanna would be one, Grace and whatever, and they would all get these small churches, and everybody would do disaster relief with each other. Unfortunately, what we've came to realize is most churches aren't really interested in what other churches are doing, okay? So HART started in 2012. I wasn't on the original team, but they asked me, Sherry Richards actually came to me, because at the time now, my heart is to pray for people. So I was doing the special opportunities, which...
That's right, you called it special ops. Yeah. Tony would get... whenever something really weird was happening... They'd call Tony in, and he'd go in and pray for people, and there'd be breakthrough.
Yeah.
Because you would go anywhere, and
there'd
be people from all over the city. You'd go to the strangest places. I remember that.
Right. So we would walk life out with people. We would walk out healing. We would walk out, you know, people's shutters would be moving, and they didn't open them. Pop cans would go across the table. They didn't do it. So there was just a whole bunch of us that were going around, and it actually got to a point where it's kind of funny. I remember having a conversation with, I think it was Mark, and he said, look, Bill Bulling,
the senior pastor of the
church. Senior pastor of the church really likes what you guys are doing, but doesn't want to know. You know, he's just kind of like, you guys just go do your stuff. And
Well, and I think that that's common for a lot of senior pastors, because he knew it was the Lord.
Yeah.
But he couldn't explain it to this huge, right, thousands and thousands of member congregation. Right. And so, yes, go do it. It's the Lord. But I don't want to have to explain you to all of them.
Right.
And I think that's really what happens when you're pastoring a huge group of people, right, like that. Yeah.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Well, and what was really cool about it, too, is we didn't really have anybody ever say anything bad about it.
No, you know? So but you still have to explain it.
Right. But that was a plus, too, because to me, we were actually doing it the right way if we weren't having a lot of complaints.
I wonder if in the military, special ops people have to explain everything sometimes. Yeah. You just got to wonder.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes whoever's in charge say, yeah, just don't tell me every detail.
Oh, I bet that happens all the time.
One particular story, me and a couple of the prayer ministers, we went up north. It wasn't Elk River, but it was close. And they were inviting people over. There's a woman who had cancer. And so they're inviting people over. And I'm like, it's really hard to minister to somebody when you got a whole bunch of people in the room. So I'm like, let me get up there earlier. Let me minister to the person. Then we'll try to do whatever. I get there, 9 o'clock in the morning. There's 15 people. And I'm going, okay, I'm just like, Lord, what do you want to do here? And he says, let me explain something. When the Lord speaks to me, it's not an audible voice. It's just a thought. Hmm. Okay. He just runs thoughts through my mind that I don't typically think.
You've learned with experience,
right,
and training and trial and error, what's,
correct,
the Lord, what's not the Lord.
Right.
Because Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me because they know my voice.
Exactly. Yeah,
you've learned to know his voice.
I know it. I've learned to know his voice. And I've learned to not be chicken about it.
Good. No,
seriously, I'm willing to look like a fool for the Lord.
That, I think that is actually one of the biggest keys to breakthrough there, is getting over yourself, being okay with failing, being okay with looking foolish, and being like, I think this is where the Lord's going. I'm going to go with it and see what happens.
Right.
That's huge.
Yep. I go into this house, 15 people, and I'm like, ugh. What do you want to do? And he says, why don't you ask everybody in this room who's mad at me? And I'm like, oh, okay.
This is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. So I said, who in the room's mad at God? And hands go up everywhere. And I'm like, so why are you mad at God? Well, she has cancer. She's not getting healed. He could heal her, da, 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 da. He caused this. I'm like, so why do you think he caused this? I said, doesn't it say in scripture that Jesus came to heal people? And I said, if God caused this and Jesus heals people, isn't that the same kingdom fighting against each other? I said, but if this is Satan, which I actually believe it is, then you have something to fight.
Got an amen over here.
Okay. So that actually was a big breakthrough for people. So I pray for this lady. Now, you have to understand, I'll just go a tangent here real quick. I've prayed for a lot of people. I've got to see a lot of people healed. And I've also, Randy talks about
the agony of defeat.
The agony of defeat, and I've had a lot of agony of defeats too.
Yeah.
And, but you press on. So
yep.
Anyway, I prayed with this lady. But as I'm praying for her, her mom steps out of the room. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. I think she doesn't want anything to do with it, stepping out of the room. So I pray with her. Everybody start chit-chatting. And I walk into the other room. And I said to somebody, come with me. And walk in the other room. And I look at her mom. And the Lord tells me something very interesting. And I said, can I pray with you? And she says, sure. And I said, the Lord knows you're struggling here because, and this is exactly what he says, she got healed. The mom got healed, but she's not seen her daughter get healed.
Mm. Oh.
All right. And she looked at me and she said, how do you know that? And I said, again, I'm just telling you, God showed me this. He knows that. And he wants you to know that he is in this situation. Now, I don't know the outcome, and the outcome was her daughter passed away. That was an outcome. But he wanted her to know that, look, I'm in this situation. I'm
and
with
I care,
you.
And I still
and I care.
You.
Yeah.
And I'm still God.
Right. Exactly. So that was one of our many special ops.
I remember when early on when I had been going out to Reading, Bill Johnson's father passed away, and he talked about that topic, disappointment with God, I think is what he titled it, but how he prays for all kinds of people with the same thing his father had, and they got healed.
Right.
Yet God didn't heal his father, and he has a choice at that point.
Right.
If he's going to hang on to his faith in God and then still have that not an understanding of why,
right,
or is he going to get mad at God and turn his back on God, which is what the enemy would love for you to do. And there's something we don't know, but until we know it, let's keep pressing in for more.
Right. And what it's there's you know, I have these just thoughts. I've read, you know, I used to love reading Wigglesworth. I loved reading Catherine Kuhlman. I love reading John Lake. And you know what's interesting about a lot of this is a lot of these guys, you know, Eder, they all lost plenty of people in their lives. There's numerous family members that have passed away.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that all is, but it's just interesting to me that, you know, these things happen. And we're not God, you know. We're here put on the earth to walk out what he's calling us to walk out, and you do the best you can, and you leave it up to his
And
his
we're hands. Always learning more. That's why we press in for more, because there, if Jesus paid for it not to happen, it shouldn't be happening, but there's something we don't know about walking in the fullness of what Jesus paid for. So we need to learn, and we only learn that from him. So if we move away from him in those situations, we're not going to learn what we need to know,
right,
in order to get that.
Right. And we're and it's funny because we're always learning too. And
exactly.
If you stop, and we'll get to that point with heart. If you stop, I just don't think that's what God ever wants you to do. He always wants you to keep moving the kingdom forward and keep doing things. So,
well, a disappointment and offense will cause you to stop. That's, right. You'll stop right there. And I actually feel a ministry moment right here. Would you pray for people right now?
Sure.
Who are angry with God?
Yeah.
Where it didn't turn out, where they put their faith in it, and they just got disappointed and hurt. Because I feel like there's a lot of people that get stopped.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would do that. So, Father, I thank you for teaching us wisdom and teaching us grace and mercy. And Lord, what looks like a stopping point might just be a pause, or quite honestly, Lord, might just be a heart check. So Father, I pray for those who have had their dreams and their ministries derailed for whatever reasons. Lord, I also pray that, I just pray, Father, that they would get their breakthrough. I pray, I just pray a restart. I as I'm praying this, I just see this picture of, like, you know, these race cars that do a drag strip. They race like a quarter mile, like at 200 miles an hour, and then the parachute comes out. That's what I see. I actually believe that those who have been stopped, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that race car will start, and it's going to fire, and it's going to fire quickly.
Come
and
on.
It's going to just take off. So Father, we thank you for that. I do, Father. I just pray that those who think their dreams have stopped, that they haven't. And that I just pray, God, that they would just reconnect with you and be launched into what you've called them to. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to our Dare to Believe podcast. When I challenge each one of our listeners to dare to believe God for greater things in your life this season.
Amen. And we'd also love it if you would subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating, as well as share this with friends, colleagues, whoever would be encouraged by this message. Thank you so much, listeners.